Hey there, welcome to another episode of Off Curve, where I occupy myself on my commute by talking about Hearthstone. And so I'm recording this on July 7th, and so the podcast, actually, the first episode just went up yesterday as I'm recording this, so it's the first time that anybody's gotten to hear it. And I really want to thank everybody for all the kind words and all the nice things that you guys have been saying. And I mean, I never really know when I put something like this out if anybody's going to listen to it other than me. So, you know, it's all the feedback's been really encouraging. I really do appreciate it. I don't necessarily get used to two episodes a week because they're not going to be announcing a new Hearthstone expansion every week. But I kind of felt like I needed to get a new episode out with the announcement of Knights of the Frozen Throne coming last night, because I have some thoughts, as you would expect. But before I get to that, first of all, I have a correction, an important correction I need to make. Blister Guy's accent is from New Zealand, not Australian. I apologize profusely, and the error will never happen again. Okay, now that we got through that. So it's the seventh day of the month. I am at rank 12, no stars, right now on the ladder. This meta is something else. Like, I think we're all just kind of waiting for the Quest Rogue nerf to come through, because it's just, like, it's all over the place. Like, I'll be playing against heavy control, then all of a sudden there's, like, this burst of aggro druid, and then you run into Taunt Warrior, and then you run into Quest Rogue, and it's, like, trying to pick what you're going to play on the ladder is really difficult right now. So, I actually got up to rank 11, 3 stars, and I ended up losing a bunch of games with the priest. I've been going back and forth between the Yogg Priest that I talked about on the last episode. There's APX Void's Giant Mage, which is kind of like a Burn Mage, except it doesn't run Medivh. It runs Arcane Giants at the top end, and it runs one copy of Kabbalist Tome. So it kind of generates some additional value, and so it kind of plays like a half-secret, half-Burn Mage. But it doesn't run Kirin Tors, and it doesn't run Medivh. It's like a weird hybrid. I would say try it if it sounds interesting to you. It's a little bit different, and you know, nobody knows what the hell mage is anymore. I've also, this morning, I've been toying the last few days with different builds of Jade Druid. Jade Rogue. And Mr. Yagut has a list that's up on Hearthstone Top Decks as of today. That's a more refined version of it. I love this deck. Like, I was playing this at the end of the year of the Kraken too, and it's a lot of fun to play. So it's a tempo rogue, basically. Like, you're running all the Jade cards. You're running Jade Shurikens. You're running Jade Swarmers. You have Shadowcasters to bounce the Jade generating cards back to your hand. So, you know, very often what you'll end up doing is, you know, you'll throw down an Aya and you'll bounce it back to your hand with a Shadow Caster and play another 1/1 Aya. And then you'll play Journey Below and you'll get a third Aya. And eventually just your Jades get huge when things line up for you. And what's good about this version, now the old version pre-Unguro had Unearthed Raptor, which is the card from League of Explorers that will copy a Death Rattle. So you'd copy, obviously, the Death Rattles from the Jade Swarmers while they're stealth, and then you'd get more Jades. So this has this doesn't have that, but it does have Vilespine Slayers, which is just better for not dying. So if it sounds interesting to you and you have the cards for it, I mean, Shadowcasters are probably not super worth crafting, because they're not useful outside of this deck specifically. But if you have the cards for it, I would suggest you try it, because even if it's not super great against the meta, and I have no idea, I went 2-1 with it this morning. I beat an aggro druid and a taunt warrior, and I lost to a mid-range paladin just because I got a terrible draw that was just like nothing but Jade Spirits. But if that's an interesting sounding deck to you, I would say try it. If nothing else, just play it in casual. It's a lot of fun. I mean, playing third and fourth Aya, it doesn't get much better than that. So, you know, I'm going to keep trying that and see if it works for this meta. I'm hoping to get to 10 this weekend. You know, it is what it is, right? But I'm not going to stress it, but I would super like to get to 10 this weekend just to kind of keep my momentum going. Okay, so let's talk about the new expansion, right? So they announced Knights of the Frozen Throne last night as I'm recording this on the HGT Championships. As I was pretty sure they were gonna, that was when they were going to do it. And they're saying August, you know, there's some conflicting reports about when in August. We'll kind of figure that out, but they're not doing any card reveals after this until July 24th. So probably mid-August, I would bet, because usually they do like 2 to 3 weeks of card reveals. I don't want to talk about every specific card, and I probably won't on this show too much just because I don't have time. But I do want to talk about, I like the flavor of the set. Like, I like the intro video with Jaina turning to a Death Knight really kind of gave me chills, no pun intended. And the idea of cards that change up your hero and change the way you play the game is really super interesting. Like, I spent a lot of time in the Karazhan meta playing, of all things, Brian Kibler's Shadow Form Priest, which had a lot of, like, excess healing. I don't remember if it ran Tournament Medics, but it definitely ran Refreshment Vendors, and it ran Mistress of Mixtures, and it ran, I think, Darkscale Healers, and you would change your hero power, and the reason it worked so well in that meta is because mid-range Shaman was everywhere, and being able to do 2 damage to on a regular basis to be able to kill off totems before they could kill you with the Inspire minion, that is, the name is escaping me right now because I've thankfully pushed it out of my mind. It worked really well, but in general, like, Shadow Form just screws you. And this is why I'm a little bit nervous about this mechanic, and it's going to be really interesting how Team 5 handles it. Because, so they showed Deathstalker Rexxar. So you play the card, it does 2 damage to all minions, I think all enemy minions, and it gives you 5 armor, and then it changes your hero power to basically take 2 beasts, combine them together, and then put the resulting one in your hand. So it combines their stats, it combines their text boxes. It's pretty cool. It's kind of like Fandral for beasts, right? The issue is that, and this is the issue with Dinomancy too, because I've tried, I don't have any copies of Dinomancy, but my wife Maureen got one in her opening packs, and we tried so hard to make that card work. And the problem with changing your hero power is that you don't really notice how much the cards in a given class are built around a hero power until you don't have it anymore. So if you think about Shadow Form, right, all of a sudden you're not healing. Well, what does Priest have? Priest typically has minions with low attack and high health that it expects to heal in order to keep board advantage. And when all of a sudden you, A, can't heal your face, which you generally need to because you're a priest, and you're behind for the beginning of the game, and you also can't heal your minions that are not really doing anything on any individual turn, but are intended to do things over a series of turns when you're healing them up and being able to use them over and over. Once you can't do that anymore, it really fundamentally changes the way that you play the game, and you need to have cards in your toolkit to be able to take advantage of that. Like, Shadow Form was generally best when Inspire was a thing, and so you could do 2 damage and then have, like, a tournament medic and heal yourself up anyway. And, you know, as that went away, like, I get Shadow Form every so often out of Elyra, and it sucks. It just, you try it, and it just never works. So that's the one thing that I'm a little bit worried about. I'm sure that Team 5 knows that better than I do, and I'm interested to see what the support cards are for the new hero powers and the new, you know, Death Knight heroes. So we'll see how that works. I'm really excited about, like, just the flavor of the series, though. Like, I kind of want to go back and replay Warcraft 3 now to go through the whole story of Arthas becoming a Death Knight. I believe that's all captured in Warcraft 3. Like, I never played World of Warcraft. I never played, so I'm pretty clueless when it comes to a lot of the Warcraft lore. Like, I played the first couple of Warcraft games, and then Hearthstone, and I missed everything in the middle. And Warcraft 3 I played, like, 15 years ago, I guess. So I don't really remember much from it. But I like, the flavor really, really looks cool, and I'm really excited to see what the rest of the cards are going to look like. So the other thing that I was happy to see from the announcement was the way that they're handling the single player content and how they're handling distributing the cards. They're, one of the things that was kind of a main source of agita coming out of Un'Goro was the fact that you'd buy a 50-pack pre-order, and then you'd also, you know, buy a whole bunch of packs with gold, and you get maybe two legendaries, and they'd be duplicates sometimes. And a lot of that is variance, but the fact that they made the announcement recently to change the fact that you're not going to be able to get a legendary you don't already have out of a pack until you have them all was a really good change. And I do like that they're making all of the single player content free, and they're, for completing the prologue, you're going to get one of the Death Knight hero cards, which are all legendary. And that's a big deal, because the main source of the consternation was that a lot of the build-up to Un'Goro felt like it was around the quest, even though ultimately only two of them were actually playable. But a lot of the excitement was around the quest and doing things with them, and then when you don't get them, you feel like you're kind of missing out on the point of the set. And it seems like the Death Knight cards are going to be the same thing. So it's good that they're making sure that everybody's going to get one, a lot like what they did with C'Thun in Wizards of the Old Gods, where everybody just got a C'Thun in their first pack. You know, it's not quite the same, because C'Thun was, one legendary that everything was built around, and this is, you know, one of nine, and you may not get the one you want, but that you'll at least get something, right? And I really, really like that they're keeping all of the single-player content free. Like, I really got into Hearthstone seriously around the time the iPhone client came out, which was between Black Rock Mountain and the Grand Tournament. But I played it in beta. I played it a little bit on my computer. I didn't get super into it because I thought at the time that it was Magic for babies. Little did I know. boy, was I wrong, huh? But in any event, I came back into it shortly around Nexramas, because they made the first wing free, and you know they were giving out free cards, and I came back, I unlocked the first wing. It was free for like the first month or so that it was out, if I remember correctly. So I did that. I played the first wing. I liked it, and then I stopped, because it was 700 gold for the next one, and I wasn't doing that. But I do think that there is, like, we talk about a lot of the player base that's between like rank 18 and 20. But I think there's an even bigger part of the player base that, like, never plays against other people at all, ever. And just because they're intimidated against playing against someone else on the internet, which is not unfair. Like, it's the same reason I don't play fighting games online, because I just get stomped. But they'll play against the computer. And so if you can give them more single-player content, that's a really great way to draw some of those people in. If they're already casual players who just play against the Innkeeper, or if they're people who are lapsed that just want to try it, and this is kind of a stress-free way to get into the game, and then maybe if they like it, because Team 5 is really good at building that single-player content, you know, if they like it and they want more, maybe they get enticed to try playing against somebody online once they get their confidence built up playing against the AI. So, you know, making that all free and reducing that barrier is a super smart way to do it, and I'm really glad that they did that instead of, like, gating that as extra content and trying to, you know, squeeze some extra pennies out of it. I think what's important is that they're listening. It's very clear that they're hearing the feedback that came out of Un'Goro, and a lot of it was positive. Like, they did a really good job with the card design in this set, to the point where, like, the meta's starting to get a little bit stale, but it's not, like, at the end of, like, any of the last of the previous sets. So they're taking that good feedback, but they're also taking the more constructive feedback around, this didn't feel great the way that you handled, you know, handing out the cards and how you distributed the content. And they're taking that to heart, and they're making changes. So I think that's super positive, and it's very encouraging. So that's all I have for this week. You can always find me on Twitter @WickedGood. You can find my Twitch on the rare occasions when I stream, and maybe I'll be able to make that a little bit more often than, you know, never. @WickedGoodFM. You can find me pretty much any Hearthstone Discord, just @WickedGood. I'm probably there. And, you know, you can if you want to listen to the show as I'm recording it, you can go subscribe to my Anchor station, which is anchor.fm/wickedgood. Oh, and if you want to hear more of me, feel free to go listen to my other podcast, Disruption, which is on Relay FM. You can find that over at relay.fm/disruption. Thank you, as always, for listening. I really appreciate all the great feedback. I really appreciate all the new listeners. Feel free to share this around with your friends if you'd like. And I will talk to you soon. Have a good one.